Hallelujah. So are you ready for his word this morning? Okay, will you turn with me then to the book of 2 Kings? 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verse 8. I normally like to read from the NIV. 2 Kings chapter 2, I'll be reading from verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, rather, not chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 4, rather, not chapter 2, chapter 4 from verse. That's right. It says, one day Elisha went to Shunem. Now, Elisha was this guy who took over from Elijah, if you know Elijah. Elijah was really powerful prophet of God. And before he died, Elisha said, can I inherit a double portion of your anointing? And Elijah said to him, look, if you can see me when I'm being taken into heaven, then I'll give you a double portion of my anointing. And somehow Elisha managed to see him whilst he was going, and he got a double portion of his anointing. Now, so strong was his anointing that even when he died, the Bible says one day there was this guy who was going to be buried. And in the process of being buried, they saw their enemies coming. So they threw the dead body in a tomb that they didn't know belonged to Elisha. And sadly, he came back to life. That even when he's dead, he still has power to resurrect. It's not him per se, because it's the power of God working through him. And for me, it's just an example of what God can do in you and through you if you submit to him. And the Bible says, one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do man was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. A well-to-do woman, he was prominent, she had money. And anytime Elisha passed there, she invited him. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Now, if you read the Amplified Version, it says, I sense that this man is the holy man of God. The first thing that comes to mind when I read this is discernment. The woman has discernment. She's able to discern who she's dealing with. She's able to discern the move of God straight away. Next verse. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes. Now watch this. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair, a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp for him. They're all significant. And we'll get to that. So that, it says, then he can stay there whenever he comes. So first of all, she discerns who she's dealing with. Now she makes room for the person she's dealing with. Reception. Let's go on to the next verse. It says, one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down. Because he's been made to feel so welcome, he comes to the point that he even lies down. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she said, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Somebody say reward. Reward. It says, you have gone through all this trouble. Now, what can be done for you? Can we speak on behalf of the king or the commander of the army? Nah, she replied, I have a home among my own people. In other words, I'm happy. I'm content with what I have. What can be done for her? Elisha was still scratching. He said, what can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. This woman is very rich. She's got everything she wants. But there's one thing that's lacking in her life. And the fact that she hasn't got any child. Now, it's quite different here in the West. But in those days, to be a Jew without a child was a big deal. It was a really big deal. And so Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her and she stood in the doorway. Next verse. But the woman, go back, 15. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you would hold a son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Please, man of God, do not mislead me. Because she's been in her situation so long that even when she hears the news, it doesn't even make sense to her anymore. And sometimes you can be in a situation for so long that when you see something good, you can't even recognize it. It's just like poverty. Poverty can make you lose your sense of taste. You see something good, you don't even know what it is. It says, about this time next year, Elisha said, you would hold the son in your arms. No, my lord, she objected. Please, man of God, do not mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Somebody say reward. May God reward somebody just because you are here this morning. I'm going somewhere with this. Next verse. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, my head, his father told the servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. So God gives her a gift that she didn't even ask for, but she was grateful for. And then within space of 24 hours, that very thing that God gives her is gone. Completely gone. Completely gone. The child is playing. There's nothing wrong with the child one day. The next day, the child gets a headache, and then the child is dead. And so she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of your servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. Because of time, let's jump to verse 32. Verse 32. When Elisha reached, so she rushes and goes and get the prophet Elisha. And when Elisha comes, she reaches the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, and he stretched himself out on him. The boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. Say restoration. Restoration. So there's discernment, there's reception. There was a reward, and then there was restoration. Now it's interesting that when the boy died, you know where she took the boy? She took the boy in this very same room that she made for the prophet. And at times, if you make room for God, it's in that same place, that room that you make for God, that you get your restoration. But it all begins with discernment. Shall we go back to verse 9? I just want to show you something. The importance of discernment. You know, it's just that these days, you hear a prophet here and then you run. You hear a prophet there and then you run. There's the man of God here. You're all over the place. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is the holy man of God. I cannot ever overemphasize the importance of discernment this day and age. Because people are you have so many prophets everywhere, and you don't even know who is right or who is wrong. I remember growing up as a child. Where didn't our mother take us? Today, say, I've heard a man here, then we'll go. There's another man here, then we'll go. There's another man there. We're all over the place. And understand my mother, at the heart of a mom, they want to see their children do well. I remember one time in Benin, she saw this guy and called this guy. She had to kill some chicken, say some words. And then the next Sunday, you'll be in church. A mom's desperate attempt to see everything in the lives of their children go well. Just like Uncle Terry was sharing, every parent wants to see their children do very well. So we are all over the place. One minute there's a man of God here, and then we run. The next minute there's a man of God here, we then run. One day we went to this man of God. I don't even know what he was. I don't know if he was a man of God or not. And then he was saying, bring this, bring that, bring that. And I think among them, we had to bring potatoes or something. And he said, bring a potato. And when he said potato, I began to laugh because of the way he said it. And my mother hit me. Dad, you can't do that before he puts a curse on you. But you'd be surprised. Then we'll go to this place. The man will give us this bottle, anointing oil. Then there's the cross inside. Believe me, the places I've been before, you have no idea. You have no idea the place. But it's because the desire for people to have answers. People want answers. They want answers to their life. They want answers to their future. They want answers to their job. They want answers all over the place. Can we go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 24? Matthew chapter 24, just want to show you something. Matthew 24, 24. Somebody say answers. We always need answers, but you've got to go to the right place. Matthew 24. It says, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. The elect are the chosen of God. False prophets will appear. And if possible, they will even deceive those that God has called. Now, why do you think they get deceived? Why do you think they get deceived? Because they sound like prophets, they probably dress like prophets, they speak like prophets, they behave like prophets. And so if you don't have discernment, you'll be misled into thinking they are the real thing. And you know, just because it feels right, just because it sounds right, just because it looks right, doesn't mean that it's the right thing. You need discernment. You need discernment. I remember Pastor Paul told me some time back, he said we went to Edgewell Road with one of these prophets. And the moment we walk into the restaurant, the prophet said, "Pastor Paul, no, we can't eat here. It's the bad place." And so they didn't eat there and they went somewhere else. Now, I don't know what it is that God delivered them from. But can you imagine how many people have been to that restaurant, eating constantly, thinking, the food was good. You know? But you need discernment in these things. You absolutely need discernment. You need discernment. If you are to solidify your walk with God, you need discernment. There are times that things may seem as though it's good, but it's not necessarily good. And there are times that things may seem as though it's bad, but it's not necessarily bad. You need the Spirit of God to guide you into certain things. And that can only happen if you make room for the Holy Spirit. It can only happen if you make room for the Holy Spirit. Discernment. 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 Shall we go back again to 2 Kings chapter 4? It's interesting. When the woman finally invites the pastor or the prophet into her house, there's some things that she had in the house. She had a bed in there. She had a table in there. She had a chair in there. She had a lamp in there as well. She made sure she made the room comfortable for the prophet to stay there. And that's why the prophet attempts to even go out of his way and come just to stay there, because she made the prophet feel very comfortable. Now, the question I want to ask you this morning, where is the Holy Spirit seated in your life? There was a chair in the room. Where is the Holy Spirit seated in your life? Has the Holy Spirit got prominence in your life or not? Can the Holy Spirit call yourself a resting place? Has he got prominence in your life or not? Because there's a reason why the Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit that God has put in you. Because when the Holy Spirit is grieved, you are not going to get much after the Holy Spirit, because he's grieved. The Bible says there were some places that Jesus did not do any miracles. It wasn't because he didn't want to do it. He refused to do it because he didn't feel welcome. And so he refused to do any miracles. And when the Holy Spirit doesn't feel welcome in your life, and that's it. Because he doesn't feel welcome in your life. Has he got prominence in your life? In the room, she had a lamp in there for as well, for the prophet. She had a lamp in there. In Proverbs 20, 27, what is what it says? Proverbs 20, 27. Proverbs 20, 27. It says, the human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. The human spirit is the lamp of the Lord that sheds light on one's inmost being. The human spirit is the lamp of God. So your spirit is the lamp of God. Your spirit. Now, every single person here has a spirit, right? Unless you're not a human being. But if you're a human being, you have a spirit within you. And if you have a spirit within you, chances are you've got the lamp of God with you. Now, whether the lamp shines brightly or not, it's another thing. Whether it shines bright or not, it's another thing. But you've got the candle of the Lord. Now, what is the essence of candles or light? It dispels darkness. It dispels darkness. Now, you cannot. I've got these pens. Now, you see these pens here. Can you discern the difference between these two? Thank you. One is black and one blue. The only reason why you can discern is because there's light. In darkness, you can feel this. They look the same. Everything is the same. You cannot discern. The only time you can discern the difference is because there's light. That's the only difference. In darkness, you can touch it. It feels the same. You will not even know the difference. And that's what God is saying. You need that light in you to be able to discern things that are going on in your life. Hallelujah. You need that light to be able to discern. You know, the spirit of man is the candle of God. And you have that candle. Do not kill that fire that God's put in you, because you need discernment. Lord, which direction should I go today? Lord, should I go for this job, even though it looks good, even though it feels good, even though it sounds good? Should I go for it or not? You need discernment. You need discernment. I remember Naaman, when he went to Elisha and said, I need healing for my leprosy. Elisha said, go and wash in the Jordan. Naaman didn't have any discernment. He said, go and wash in the Jordan. I thought that you were going to pray and do certain things for me so that I can receive my healing. He said, you said I should go and wash in Jordan. And then the servant said, Naaman, if he had told you to go and do anything differently, you would have. But this is a simple thing that he's asking you to do, and yet you are refusing to do it. Because as far as Naaman was concerned, it didn't feel like God was in it. He didn't have discernment. It didn't feel like God was in it. But the moment he did it, suddenly he had his breakthrough. Discernment for every Christian is so important. So important. I there's so many things on YouTube these days, the pastor here, pastor there, and people are just following them blindly. They're just following them. Where is your discernment as a child of God? Where is your discernment as a child of God? We cannot afford to live anyhow because we might miss the mark. It says even the very elect in Matthew 24, the very elect were deceived. We're deceived. Even in Matthew, he says, had God not cut the days short, nobody will survive. So we need to get to the place where we say, God, I'm not sure about this. I want your guidance on this. It may seem right. It may look right. It may feel right. But God, I need your leading. I need your guidance on this. Because I don't want to miss the mark. I don't want to. And you need this for really major decisions in your life. You need to go God concerning this because you can easily miss it. Easily. But it all starts when you make room for the Spirit to move. Listen, you cannot manipulate God. You cannot manipulate His power. You cannot manipulate His presence. You cannot. But you can make room in your life for Him to move the way He wants. You can make room in your life. That woman, her intention wasn't to manipulate the man of God at all. Her intention was to serve the man of God, to receive the man of God. And when the man of God came, and that represents God coming into your life, when the man of God came, suddenly, even she got what she didn't ask for. She said, what do you want? I said, no, I'm fine. I don't need anything. I said, no, I'm going to give you a child. Which was what she really wanted. But she knew that, you know, she'd gone past that time of having children, and so she forgot about it. But you see, anytime you make room in your life for God, He begins to work in your life in ways that even your imagination cannot comprehend. And I know that. And like the last time at the furnace, I was saying, when Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, in chains and everything, they started praising and worshiping God. They were not expecting the prison doors to open or the chains to fall. All they were doing is making room in their heart for God. And as they were worshiping and praising God, suddenly the chains began to fall. Suddenly prison doors began to open. There was an earthquake. And listen, every single door in that prison opened just because they made room in their heart for God. There's no record in the Bible which says they were asking God that God release these chains or open the doors. No, they just made room in their heart for God. And suddenly God moved. It's the same thing with Cornelius. Cornelius, he always made room in his heart for God by prayer and worship and giving. And suddenly one day God says, I want to touch not just you, Cornelius, but I want to touch every single person in your household. And he did that. It's all because he made room for God. How many remember the ark of God? The Bible says David wanted to bring the ark of God into Jerusalem. And as he was bringing the ark of God, it was on a cart. And then suddenly one of the donkeys, his oxen, tripped. And the ark was just about to fall. So one guy called Uzzah, tried to hold it. And instantly God struck him and he died. I used to struggle with that story a lot. So I'm thinking, God, why would you strike somebody? He's trying to hold your ark from falling. Why do you strike somebody? You know, listen, you're not responsible for the outcome. You're only responsible for your obedience. That ark is only priests who were supposed to touch the ark. No, if you're an ordinary person, you cannot. It's only priests. But he tried to do it. You are not responsible for the outcome. You're only responsible for your obedience. Saul did the same thing, King Saul. When he was waiting for someone and someone didn't turn up, he tried to offer the sacrifice, tried to control, manipulate the outcome. And God rejected him. And he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. It's not your position at all to determine the outcome. Yours is to obey and let God do the rest. Let God do the rest. To obey is better than to sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. But back to my story. Finally, the ark ended up in somebody called, what's his name? Abinadab. Ended up in Abinadab's house. And the Bible says, God blessed that guy and blessed his household so much. When David heard of it, he said, no, let me take the ark. I'd rather make room. And he took the ark and brought it finally to Jerusalem. All I'm saying is, if you make room in your heart and in your life for God, he begins to work in ways that you never understand. Ways that you didn't even think is possible. There are some things you don't even have to ask. Because there's a difference between the presence of God and the manifest presence of God. As we see here, the presence of God is here, but there's the manifest presence where even any situation in your life, any situation that comes into contact with the manifest presence of God changes because of his presence. You don't have to pray. It's just that you've made room in your heart for him. You've made room in your heart for him. You've made room in your heart for him. There's a reward that comes when you make room in your heart for God. And it's not even a big deal. It's always saying, Lord, I yield to you today. Have your way, Lord. Let your will be done in my life today as it is in heaven. Because that same room that you make is one day is that same place that God is going to bring that restoration when you lose something. The woman had a reward and she lost that reward. Not because of anything bad that she did, but it's because the enemy stole from her. One day the child was fine, and the next day the child was gone. She took the child and took him straight into the room that she had made. And it was there that the child was restored. It was there that the child was restored. See, anytime I go before God, I say, God, look, I really need to speak to your children what you want them to hear. And so anytime God brings a message like discernment, then he's probably speaking to somebody today. And I don't know, maybe you're about to make a decision right now that it's quite a huge decision. You need discernment. Discernment is just the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. It's the ability to differentiate between true and false. And it may sound easy, but unless you depend on God, you miss it. You know, in Matthew chapter 2, the Bible says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, behold, wise men from the east, from Arabia, they came to say, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Because we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but you know where they ended up? They ended up in Jerusalem. These were wise men. Some interpretations even call them magicians. With all their wisdom and everything that they did, they got the location wrong, ended up in Jerusalem. The only way that they found their way back was when they went to the prophets and the prophets consulted the word of God and said, no, it's in Jerusalem. And they went straight to Jerusalem. Solomon, with all his wisdom, he lacked discernment and that caused his fall. You know, wisdom is good, but there's a limit to what wisdom can do. And so if you're faced with a situation and you think, no, I'm going to use my wisdom, I'm going to use my experience, you could get it wrong. Easily get it wrong. You lay it before God and say, God, this is the situation I'm in right now. You know what I don't know. You see what I don't see. You understand things that I don't understand. You know, you've been there. You know, if I want to work with somebody, I want to work with somebody who's lived longer than I have, somebody who's got more experience than I have, and God does. He knows the beginning from the end, the Bible says. He knows the beginning from the end. Hallelujah. So, as I said, you know, maybe there's somebody here today that you're in the middle of a major decision and God is saying you need discernment. For some people, you've already made room in your heart for God and God says your reward is coming. For some of you, you've got your reward already and maybe the devil is stealing away from you. God says your restoration is coming. Your restoration is coming. And really, that's what it is. Really, that's what it is. You know, I said to God, God, they've heard this story a million times. The Shunammite woman, they've heard it so many times. Says, yes, Moses had the same rod, but each time he did something new. So there's a fresh revelation in this, and I believe it pertains to somebody here this morning. God is restoring somebody right now. God is bringing a reward to somebody right now. God is giving somebody discernment right now. But you need to make room for the Holy Spirit, because without him, there's nothing we can do. I used to say to my cell member, there's no point in coming to cell in cell every week and then going back the same way. You might as well just stay home. When you encounter God, He really wants to change you. He really wants to change you. But can you take His word today and apply it in your life? Can you take His word and apply that word in your life? Shall we be on our feet? Father, I thank you so much for your word this morning. And Father, I thank you for what you want to do, Lord, in the lives of your children. Father, I pray that, Lord, where they need discernment, God, it can make the difference between life and death. I pray for that spirit of discernment, God, to deal with situations, to deal with circumstances, to deal with children, to deal with family members. I pray for your discernment for them, God. You said, God, that when you ascend into heaven, you send your Holy Spirit to come and live in us. And the Holy Spirit, we know He's here. Holy Spirit, we pray that you move in the lives of your children this morning. Father, for those of us here this morning who have already made room in their hearts for you, God, I pray that their long reward is overdue this morning, God. That it's a reward that they probably were not even expecting. A reward that, Lord, they thought, oh God, it's far gone now that I don't even think that is possible. Father, do the impossible today in their lives, oh God. And Father, for every single person here that the enemy has stolen from, today I speak restoration, oh God. Restoration, oh God. Restoration. 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 Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much, God. I don't know where we'd be today without you. The Bible says your word is powerful and active. And so, Lord, as I speak your word into them today, oh God, may that power, oh God, that comes with your word activate everything that you have for them, oh God. I thank you, God, even for what you've done in their lives this morning. I thank you, oh God, for the word that you brought to them this morning. God, I pray that cause them to be receptive. Just as the woman received the prophet, may they receive the word today that will bring about the changes, oh God, that they believe in you for. I thank you, Father, and I give you all the praise in Jesus' name.